Welcome. I'm Nestor Flores, the pastor of Dayspring Church in Mission Hills, California. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I want to invite you to learn more about Dayspring Church by visiting our website, dayspringmh.org. We trust that if you open your heart, God will speak to you and you'll know how to live a life with God at the center that will result in a blessed life. This message will inspire, build your faith, and help you to know God better. Enjoy the message.
4 weeks ago, we started the series that we're currently in called Bold Prayers. And what we're doing is that we wanted to take every angle of our church and be able to point it in the same direction towards Revival Weekend. So on Sundays, we've been talking about bold prayers. If you're in a life group, we've been talking about evangelism. Because what we want to do is prepare ourselves to be able to talk for a weekend about our mission. What is the mission that God has given us? And that is to expand his kingdom, and we're going to learn more about that next weekend. But on Sundays, we've been talking about bold prayers. And on week one, we talked about the power of bold prayers. On week two, we saw how to clear the way to be able to have God answer our prayers. Because how is it that God can invite us to make such bold prayers, but then sometimes our prayers don't get answered? And on week two, we saw David. And we saw that the way that you clear the path to get your prayers answered is with another prayer. By saying, Lord, align my heart, align my thoughts, and align my life. But then on week three, we saw how to pray boldly for yourself. Right? What if Jesus were to say, what would you want me to do for you? Would we be able to give him a clear answer? Last week, we continued that thought. And we said, what happens when we dare to ask? Today, as we close our series, I want to talk to you about making bold prayers for others. Because here's the thing about bold prayers. Bold prayers can not only change your life, but bold prayers can change the lives of other people. In fact, as we've said, some of us are in the house of God today, not because we prayed, but because somebody else prayed for us. Some of us, we've experienced the goodness of God. Some of us, I am a big believer that I have the wife I have because my parents pray for it. And when you pray for others, not only can your life change, but the life of others can change when we're willing to make bold prayers. Now, in the Bible, when you pray for somebody else, when you ask for somebody else, the Bible calls that intercession. And to intercede is to stand before God or to come before God on the benefit of someone else. And one powerful example that I want us to look at today is found in the life of Esther. Esther, if you're familiar with the story, or even if you're not, Esther was a beautiful Jewish girl that miraculously became the queen of Persia. But at the height of her favor, at the height of her privilege, a wicked man named Haman devised a plot to kill and destroy all the Jewish people. Haman got the king to make a decree where every single male, female, and child Jewish person would die. And Esther was the only one positioned close enough to the king to do something about it. Esther was the only one close enough to the king to intervene, or to use biblical language, to intercede. But if you know the story, you know that in order for Esther to intervene, she had to risk her life. Because although she was the queen, no one could come into the throne room of the king without being summoned. So in light of these contexts, Mordecai, who was Esther's cousin, gives her a warning. He gives her an encouragement, and I want you to read that with me. Look at what Esther 4:13 and 14 says right there in your outlines. Here's what Mordecai tells Esther. And he says, don't think that because you are in the palace, you will escape when all the other Jews are killed. Who knows if perhaps You were made queen for such a time as this. Mordecai reminds her and he says, hey, Esther, we're in a predicament. And don't think that just because you're in the palace, you're okay. He says, perhaps the reason you became queen is that God positioned you so that you could do something about it, so that you could intercede. How did Esther reply? Well, she responded with boldness. Look at what she says in verse 16. This is Esther replying, and she says, go and gather all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. What did they do? They fasted. I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And look at these last words. And if I perish, I perish. Esther became the voice of her people before the king. Now, if you know the story, you know that the result of Esther's boldness was that God used her to save her people. Amen. And what I want you to know is that bold prayers don't just do great things in our lives. That when we are bold enough to intercede for others, that the lives of others can change. And listen, I don't know about you, but as a dad, as a father, or as a mother, this ought to give you great encouragement. As a spouse of maybe of a spouse that doesn't walk with the Lord, this ought to give you great encouragement to know that your prayers cannot just change your life, but also the life of the significant others in your life. So what I want to do is I want to look quickly at four things that we see about Esther's boldness in interceding for others. Four things that when you dare to ask will happen in your life. Here they are. Number one, praying boldly for others. The first thing that happens when we pray boldly for others is that bold prayers see the need others ignore. Bold prayers see the needs that other people ignore. In other words, when we dare to intercede, our eyes are open. Let's read together one more time, verse 13 and 14 of Esther chapter 4. Look at what it says. It says, Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you are in the place, you will escape when all the other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, look at this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this. Now, you have to understand the context, right? Esther is in the palace. Esther is living in luxury. Esther is protected by guards. Esther is wearing a crown. But her people outside of her walls are in a different predicament. And see, that's important for you and I to notice, because I think that that is the reality for many of us. God restored our marriage. God healed us. God saved us. God delivered us. God has been so good to us that we can actually look to him and say, Lord, thank you for all that you've done. But we have forgotten about those outside of the walls of the church that are in a different predicament. Those whose marriage are still toxic. Those who are still living hopeless. Those who are still living addicted. And see, praying, interceding for others, the first thing that it does is that it causes you to open your eyes to the needs that others ignore. And in the words of Mordecai, we see the first step to intercession, and that is sight. You need to be able to see what many other people ignore or don't want to see. The first key to intercession is sight. To be able to see emotionally, to be able to see relationally, but most importantly, to be able to see spiritually, because you cannot pray for what you cannot see. You cannot say, Lord, this has got to change if you can first not acknowledge it. And the first thing about interceding is that when we dare to intercede, our eyes will be open. And you want to know why? Because it is the work of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the needs around us. Did you know that? The Bible makes it very clear that it is the Holy Spirit who is constantly interceding, who is constantly working in us. He gives us insight into the pain that other people are going through. He gives us insight into the struggles that other people are going through. All we got to do is be willing to not ignore that need that we see and say, Lord, instead of complaining or gossiping about it, because aren't those two things easy to do? In fact, can I tell you something? If you don't intercede, you likely gossip about it or complain about it. Come on. I'm not throwing stones. I'm just saying the reality. What we don't intercede for, we typically complain about it. Oh, look at all those young people with their pants all the way half to their knees. What if instead of complaining about it, you prayed about it and said, Lord, can you send a revival to our youth so that instead of walking aimlessly, they walk with purpose? So the first thing that we see that we got to be willing to say, Lord, open my eyes to the needs around you so that not so that I can gossip, not so that I can complain, but so that I can pray. Because listen, maybe the person you need to pray for is somebody that's drifting from their faith. Maybe it's a coworker that's addicted, enslaved in addiction, or maybe it's a marriage that is at the brink of divorce, or maybe it's our city in need of justice and mercy. But the first thing that intercessory prayer does is that it opens our eyes to see the need. But once the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see the need, then we got to do the second thing, and we got to be able to step in and carry the burden. It's not enough to see the problem. We need to be able to step. And that's where we see Esther. What did Esther say? She said, hey, fast with me. Fast with me. And here's where we see the second point of bold prayers. Bold prayers, would you fill this out? Step into the gap. Bold prayers, not just see what others ignore. But when you pray boldly, you step into the gap. You step into the need. When Esther saw the need, she didn't delegate it. She didn't ignore it. She owned it. She owned it. She said, she didn't say, hey, well, let me see who I could send. Let me see who I could ask. No, look at what she said. Once again, in verse 16 of Esther 4, look at what she says. She says, go and gather all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, nights, or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must what?
Die.
Church, I want you to notice something. Esther knew that before she could walk into the king's throne, she had to walk into the King of Kings' throne.
Amen.
And that's what fasting is about. Fasting is about preparing ourselves. And Esther said, I am willing to step into the gap. I am willing to be the mediator. I am willing to own it. And Esther did what Ezekiel 22:30 talks about. Look at what it says right there in your outlines. Ezekiel says, I look for God. Ezekiel says in behalf of God, he says, I look for someone who might rebuild the walls of righteousness that guards the land. I search for someone to stand what? In the gap, in the wall, so that I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But I found what? No one. To intercede, church, it's a step into the space between people's despair in God's mercy. To intercede is to say, God, here's somebody's despair. Here's somebody's need. And God, here's your mercy. And I want to bring those two together. And we got to be willing to do that. Listen, when we intercede, when we're willing to step into the gap, you want to know something? We follow after the ministry of Jesus. Did you know that? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 7:25, it's not in your outline, but the Bible tells us about Jesus that he lives to intercede for you and me. He lives to intercede. He is constantly interceding. And listen, we are able to intercede because he is interceding for us. Yeah. But you want to know something about stepping into the gap? You want to know something about intercession? Why we often don't do it? Because interceding and stepping into the gap is costly. Esther proves that. She said, it is risky that I do this. It could cost me my life. But she did it anyways. Jesus, to intercede for you and me, to be able to bring our despair and the mercy of God together so that the mercy and the grace of God could win over our despair, it cost him his life. And we got to be willing to pay the price to intercede for others. Pastor, what do you mean by that? What does it mean to pay the price? Well, we got to be willing to pay the price, for example, of fasting and saying, I am going to give up certain privileges. I am going to give up certain foods because I am believing and asking God to do this. I'm going to stay up at night. I'm going to give up on sleep to be able to intercede for revival in my church. I'm going to give up certain time of things that I would do so that I could be at church, so that I could be seeking God. That's what it means to pay the price. And we will not stand in the gap unless we are willing to pay the price. Paul says in Galatians 4:19 the following, and he speaks about this costliness of interceding for others. Look at what Paul says. He says, I feel as if I am going through labor pain again for you again. He says, I love you so much. I intercede for you so much that I feel labor pains again for you. But that is the cost of interceding for other people. Now, intercession doesn't stop there, because up to now you may be saying, Pastor, that doesn't seem very enticing. You know, I got enough problems. You're asking me to open my eyes to the problems of other people. I got enough going on in my life, and you're asking me to step into the gap and pay the price for other people. But here's what you got to know. When you allow the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to the needs, and when you're willing to step into the gap, you come into the King's throne, not with your own merits, but you depend on the King's mercy. Because here's the third thing about intercessory prayer. Bold prayers for others, fill this out in your outline, rely on God's favor. They rely on God's favor. Look at what verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5 says. Read it with me. It says, on the third day of the fast, Esther put on her royal robes and entered the inner court of the palace, just across from the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther standing there in the inner court, look at this, he welcomed her and he held out the gold scepter to her. So Esther approached and touched the end of the scepter. Now, this is so wonderful. Look at what happens here. Esther has been preparing herself through prayer and fasting. And when she finally steps into the throne room, she was risking her life, as we mentioned, because nobody could come into the king's throne unless they were summoned. But she found not the king's wrath, but the king's what? Mercy. Because when the king saw her, the Bible tells us that the king extended the gold scepter, and that is a symbol of welcome and acceptance. And here's where we find the third lesson, church, about praying for others. We can come before God, because some of you are saying, Pastor, I can't be praying for other people. I can't be asking for other people. My life is a mess. Like, if I come and ask God to do this for other people, God is going to be like, hey, buddy, start with you first. And here's what you need to know. Our bold prayers for others do not depend on our own merit, but they depend on the favor of God. They depend on the mercy of God. It has nothing to do with your worthiness, and it has everything to do with God's favor. See, the gold scepter in Esther's story points to the cross. The scepter that was extended to her, where she found mercy, favor, and grace, points to the cross. And you and I can come now before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we can ask, because why? Because Jesus has extended mercy and grace to us through the cross. In fact, yeah, give the Lord a round of applause. In fact, look at what Hebrews 4:16 says right there in your outlines. Look at what this says. He says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it what? Most. You see, we can come. We can come boldly before God. We can come boldly and ask boldly before God. Not because of who we are, but because of what Jesus did. Because just as the king extended the golden scepter to Esther, God has extended his mercy and his invitation to us through the cross and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, favor makes all the difference. Let me illustrate it to you this way. I don't know if you've ever been sued or if you ever had to go to court for whatever reason. But if you've ever had to, I want you to picture this. I want you to picture that you have a case. And you know it's your fault. And you know you are to blame, okay? Because everybody's innocent when they go to court, right? Oh, that was too real? Okay. So I want you to picture it's your fault. And not only is it your fault, but you got the most powerful, highest judge to rule over your case. How do you walk into that courtroom? With fear, with concern. But I want you to picture walking into your court day to see the most powerful, highest judge in the land. And as you're walking in, somebody comes beside you, puts his arm around you, and he says, hey, don't worry. I'm with you, and the judge is my father. What does that do for you? You want to know something? That's exactly what Jesus does for us. And he says, you can come boldly and ask. Why? Because the great judge of the universe is my father. And listen, if the king of Persia can extend favor to Esther, how much more will the king of kings extend favor to his children through Christ Jesus our Lord? Amen. Number three, here's the third thing. When you see the need and you step into the gap and you rely on God's favor, well, here's where it gets really good. You ready for this? Because then you can expect heaven to move. Why? Because bold prayers, fill this out in your outline, release deliverance and renewal. Bold prayers release deliverance and renewal. Esther's intercession didn't just preserve her people. Esther's intercession didn't just save her people. It changed their history. It changed their future. Because here's what you need to know. Haman had convinced the king to sign a decree to kill all the Jews, right? Now, here's the thing about decrees. You ready about this? Decrees couldn't be undone. They had to be fulfilled. But because Esther interceded, God used Esther's intercession to elevate her cousin Mordecai, who then came into place. And check this out. Mordecai not only got rid of Haman, but Mordecai convinced the king to set another decree so that instead of the Jews dying that day, the Jews could defeat their enemies on that day. In fact, let's read it. Look at what Esther 9:1 says. It says, On March 7, the two decrees of the king were put into effect. What two decrees? Well, one, the decree of Haman, and the second decree was the decree of Mordecai. He said, on that day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them. But quite the opposite happened. It was the Jews who overpower who? Their enemies. What was written as a death sentence was overturned into a deliverance because Esther was willing to boldly intercede. So church, what I want to ask you, whose life could change if you dare to pray for them? Whose life could be different if you only dare to pray for them? Because here's what you got to know. Intercessory prayer is never wasted. It's never wasted because God continues to change the decrees on the lives of people. And listen, this is important because some of us, some people in this room are living under decrees right now. Maybe your decree is a diagnose. Maybe your decree is an addiction. Maybe your decree is a generational curse that has been passed on in your family. Or maybe your decree is a hard situation. But here's what happens. When we dare to boldly pray for others, God makes a different decree. And he says, the opposite will happen. And when we dare to pray, wonderful things happen. Because what the enemy may have written in ink in your life, God can reverse it through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. God can reverse it. So let me ask again, whose life could be different if you dared to pray boldly for them? If you dare to open your eyes to the need, if you dare to stand in the gap, if you dare to come into the mercy throne, depending on God's favor, whose life could be different? You want to know something? And I'll finish with this. When we dare to intercede for others, not just lives are changed, generations are changed. Did you know that? Esther's intercession, listen to this, Esther's intercession went far and beyond from just impacting her generation. Because of the decree that Haman established, there was a festival that was born out of it. And it's a festival known as Purim. And it is a festival that is celebrated year after year till today. What she did, her boldness in interceding, not only delivered her people, but it affected the generations to come. Church, who knows? Who knows if the Lord delays in coming, if your bold prayers can affect not just your children, but your grandchildren and their children and their children. You know, I would love it. I would love it if what God began in my parents, he was able to continue to me, through me, and my children and their children. You know what that is? My desire is that there would always be ministers in our family tree. That there would be pastors, that there would be missionaries, that there would be people that serve the Lord. But you know when that happens? When you dare to intercede. So let me end with this. God is still looking for Esthers. Our world is still in need of Esthers. People who see the need, people who dare to believe, and people who dare to ask boldly. And the best part is that we are invited to come before the throne boldly, where we can find mercy and the need that we help. So my question for you is, who will you intercede for? Who will you pray for? Can you bow your head for just a moment with me?
We hope you enjoyed this message. But before you go, we want to extend an invitation to start a personal relationship with Jesus and declare him your God. No one loves you like Jesus, and no one will impact your life for good like Jesus will. Would you make the following prayer your prayer? Heavenly Father, I repent of my wrongdoing. I open my heart and I want to have a personal relationship with you. I trust that Jesus died so I could be forgiven, but he didn't stay dead. He rose back to life so I could have eternal life. From today on, I will follow you, transform my life through your truth and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations! If you made that prayer, God lives in you and now you have a new life in him. Connect to a church so your faith and love for God can continue to grow. We believe that you can find a loving and encouraging community in Dayspring Church. Come visit us. You belong here. We would love to meet you.